Every once in a while, I slip into a philosophical mode. For a fleeting moment, I stop taking for granted all that goes on in the lives that we enjoy. So, for instance, one day I'm driving down a bumpy street, and it irks me. And I grumble to myself, gee, isn't pavement supposed to be smooth? And then I start to think, you know, at one time, this street used to be just dirt or gravel. What would it have felt like then? And before that, this road probably started out as what? A deer path or a brief clearing in a woods. Until someone made the effort to clear it, to level it, to straighten it. And then I think, you know, for that matter, here I am in this sturdy, four-wheeled, climate-controlled, self-propelled contraption that's fitted with devices to absorb the shock of the bumps before the full force of the jolts make their way to me through these cushioned leather seats. I wonder who skinned and treated the leather. I wonder who stitched it to form a car seat that looks and feels like a little lazy boy recliner. But then my mind keeps going. And by the way, where did this car come from anyway? Who mined the ore and loaded it onto a train or ship? Who converted the ore to steel to be pressed into car parts? Who designed all those car parts? Who assembled them all into an automobile that was transported a long distance so a bank could loan me the money to obtain it for my personal and unlimited use? Thankfully, I don't get like that every time I get behind the wheel. But if you do give just some thought to just about any aspect of your life, the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the phone that you use as a watch and camera, if you ponder what it took for you to have those things, well, for at least a moment, you'll stop taking for granted the life that you enjoy. Today's Old Testament reading describes a time when people were urged to not take their blessed lives for granted. The end of the book of Joshua describes a rededication ceremony. As the leader of the Israelite clans, Joshua wanted them to remember how their faith in the living God resulted in blessings that they were probably overlooking, blessings they were probably taking for granted. So Joshua gathered the leaders together and he proclaimed, "This is what God says to you. I gave you a land that you've never worked, cities that you had not built. Now you are living there and eating grapes from vines that you did not plant and olives from trees that you did not plant." The Israelites were recipients of goods and privileges that they hadn't earned but had simply been given to them. God blessed them with these circumstances. Something along those lines is true for each of us, too. For instance, I certainly was not involved in the construction of this church, although a few of you were. But we all have this beautiful, peaceful place to gather for worship week in, week out, place that we take for granted. And we, I think I'm safe in saying, we did not settle and map out and develop the West Shore communities into the delightful and comfortable and prosperous places that they are, but we certainly are enjoying the privilege of living here. On a grander scale, we did not write the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of the United States. But through the years, there have been tens of thousands of men and women who worked and served and sacrificed and died so we can cast a ballot and travel freely and engage in commerce and be educated and choose whether or not we will worship, and if so, when we will worship, even who we will worship. We are recipients of gifts that we didn't earn, opportunities that we don't inherently deserve, blessings that our labors and our planning and our stewardship yield to us because of the grace and goodness of God. And for each of us, our situation is a unique circumstance. I mean, some constantly have to scramble and juggle and scrape and scrimp in order for their money to make it through another month. Some have ample income from jobs or savings or family sources and don't have to spend much time worrying about the availability of money. Often that situation changes for people as they make their way through the seasons of life. Getting your first job may provide you with more money than you've ever seen before, until you discover the burden of covering your own monthly expenses, or you get married and discover the expense of raising children, or you start paying college tuition for a child, or two, or three, or retirement and disability bring drastic decreases to your income. It's possible. On the other hand, thoughtful planning and careful stewardship of your resources earlier in life may provide for a more comfortable life later on. For each of us, our financial situation is unique, and it can change over time. The question is, how do we respond to our situation? Do we fret and obsess and panic and grouse? Or can we view our situation in a healthier way? The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians as a sort of thank you note. He was in prison, probably in Rome, we don't know for sure. He was accused of undermining the Roman Empire by his preaching. Now, Paul had founded the Christian community in Philippi some years earlier. Now, the church of Philippi was far from well-to-do, okay? But when they heard that their founder was in prison, they wanted to do something. So they sent one of their own, a fellow named Epaphroditus. What do you think they called him? Pappy? Dite? They sent Epaphroditus to attend to Paul, who was suffering quite a bit in prison. And Epaphroditus brought with him some sort of gift. We don't know if it was money or letters of encouragement or what. We don't know. But coming from the humble Philippian church, that gift was not extravagant, but it was significant. It was meaningful. And Paul appreciated it. So Paul's letter to the Philippians thanks them for their concern, their thoughtfulness, their generosity. And then Paul includes some words assuring them that he was okay. Here's what he wrote. "I've learned to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. But I've learned this secret so that anywhere, at any time, I am content. Whether I am full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." How could Paul be satisfied in prison? How could he be content with his situation? He explained it himself. "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." Christ gave Paul and us the power to be free of the kinds of worries that tie most people in knots. Can I pass this test? Should I take that job? Will my granddaughter get her life together? I wish I had a new dress, car, phone, boat, house, appearance. But our trust in Jesus draws us in line with God's plan, God's will. In seeking to serve God's will, whether we are in need or whether we have more than enough, that's not the determining factor for being faithful. Being full or hungry, having too much or too little, that's not the determining factor. No. Christ gives us a power of spirit that gives us the strength to face any condition, any circumstance. That's why the imprisoned Paul was able to say to his financially poor but spiritually rich friends in Philippi, he was able to say, "I have learned to be satisfied with what I have." Paul knew that having Christ in his life was enough. I'm going to end with this very brief story. From a little book about the true measures of money, business, and life, the author is the founder and former CEO of a company you may have heard of, the Vanguard Mutual Fund Group, John C. Bogle. Bogle, in his little book, told the story of authors Kurt Vonnegut and Joseph Heller, who were at a party being given by a Long Island, New York billionaire. Vonnegut informed his partner, Mr. Heller, that their host, who was a hedge fund manager, his host had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel, Catch-22, throughout that novel's entire life. This guy had earned more in one day than the novelist in his entire life. And Heller responded, "Yes, but I have something he will never have. Enough." Brothers and sisters, we have enough. Enough! Like the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, we too realize that because we have the gift of Jesus in our lives, we have what we truly need. We have enough. We've received what we need, knowing that God loves us without preconditions. Knowing that God forgives us when we sincerely regret the wrongs and hurts and failings that we've caused, and we vow to repent and to do better. We have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives us. Regardless of whether we are in need or have more than enough, it's because we welcome Jesus into our lives to live and work within us that we are able to face all things and be satisfied. Amen.